This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Imagine a room filled with sunlight, swanky furniture, a flat-screen TV, your own private bed, and on-call assistants.
Sounds like a spa, Meghna, or maybe an upscale hotel.
Except that it's not. It's a private room in a hospital.
It's true. Gone are the huge patient wards. And now also going, shared rooms. Private rooms for all patients are the new trend in hospital care, especially among many of the top-tier hospitals in Massachusetts.
A little earlier, I spoke with Rachel Zimmerman, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, and she looked into the costs and benefits of the all-en-suite hospital experience. And she started by describing her recent visit to the newest facility at Massachusetts General Hospital. It's the all-private room, $687 million Lunder Building.
Your room will be flooded with natural light. You'll walk into the building, and there's a sort of open atrium with flowing ivy. Each room has a huge sliding glass door, and there are really great sight lines between the nursing station and the rooms. And, of course, single beds, leather couches, so family members can sleep over. Each has a sort of a bar hanging from the ceiling so nurses can actually lift patients out of their beds to change the beds or to move the patients to the bathroom.
Oh, rather than the traditional rolling them out of the bed into
right.
another bed.
Exactly.
Now, you used a particular phrase in your post. It's not just about the amenities, but the hospitals are trying to build, what was it, a total healing environment?
Right. That's what they talked about, a total healing environment. Meaning the cascading ivy in the atrium is sort of put there because there have been studies that find people who can see nature heal faster. All the natural light can alleviate depression and actually can help reduce pain, some studies have found. So it's all about making the patient feel more comfortable, whether it's alone in a private room where your sleep is less likely to be interrupted. I mean, a good night's sleep for a sick person is huge.
So there are potentially many medical advantages to this.
Of course. And the top medical advantage is lower infection rates.
Well, Rachel, so you visited the new building at MGH, but you also mentioned that Mount Auburn Hospital is moving to the entire hospital being these single-bed hospital rooms. So I'd love to bring in another voice into the conversation if I could, and that is Jeanette Clow. She is president and CEO of Mount Auburn Hospital. Welcome to Radio Boston, Ms. Clow.
Thank you, Meghna. It's great to join you.
So let me ask you, Ms. Clow, it seems to be kind of a big deal when Mount Auburn is choosing to become a hospital whose every room is a single bed. What, in your mind, really triggered the push to make this decision?
Well, Rachel touched on some of them. Clearly, the issues of privacy and confidentiality are very, very high on the list.
So patients are more likely to actually be completely open and honest with their doctors if they don't think anyone else is listening in.
It's not only open and honest with doctors, but the opportunity to really dig into the treatment plan, and obviously some of these things are extraordinarily sensitive. So clearly the privacy and confidentiality is very important, and it's important that families feel comfortable asking all the questions and that we have the time and the space to give all, you know, our best advice, and that really helps with compliance on the part of the patient. So the space is really important to those kinds of interactions between nurses, physicians, patients, and family.
Rachel also mentioned that it may reduce infection rates by having everybody in their own room. Is there evidence for that?
Absolutely. We know that cross-contamination between patients and between a nurse who sees one patient, even washes hands quickly, sees another, or the other person's falling out of bed, has to run over and help. We know that that occurs. We don't know how often, but we know that it's certainly a risk and it's certainly a threat. And we want to try and reduce that at all costs. Keep in mind that hands and washing are one thing, but droplet communication of infection through coughing and sneezing is another big factor in the hospital. And so I think with the pressure to keep people healthy even when they're in the hospital and to reduce any hospital-acquired infections, that's another big reason for it.
So it seems that there are clear advantages from both the doctor's and patient's perspective when everybody gets their own room. But on the other hand, Ms. Clow, I mean, in listening to this, the first question of potential disadvantages has to be, is it going to be more expensive?
Before this, what I would call more of a trend now started, there were, quote, concierge floors where patients were asked to pay additional dollars to stay in some of these very upgraded rooms. Mount Auburn is not charging any extra for a patient room, nor does the insurance company pay us for any extra rooms. So there's really no cost, in a sense, to the patient, and there's really no cost to the insurance company. We believe that the kinds of benefits that patients see from being in a private room, the reduction of readmissions and the compliance with their hospital and outpatient program, will all come back to really make up our cost, if you will, for creating an all-private room hospital.
What is the cost to Mount Auburn?
Our building that we started 5 years ago was, you know, it wasn't a $600 million project. It was more in the $80 to $100 million project.
I guess I'm also wondering, has the overall number of beds, in other words, the number of patients that Mount Auburn is able to treat, has that increased or decreased now with this all-private room setup?
Well, in terms of our overall number of beds, it has increased slightly. By that, I mean we used to be about 190 beds. When we finish, we'll be at 220 beds. At the same time, we're really focused on two things. Our largest growing cohort of patients are between 80 and 100 years old.
Huh.
And the second thing that's real is that every single day, more and more baby boomers are aging into Medicare. They're turning 65, they're turning 68. And so we do see an absolute increase in the population of people born between 1945 and 1960, or 64, some people say. But that is a reality. There is more population coming our way. So we're trying to find that right sweet spot for the number of beds at the Mount.
But on the other hand, that patient demand is also sort of part of the thing that's driving the market in terms of the market that hospitals live in. So is moving to an all-private room setup at Mount Auburn, does that make it a more attractive place? Basically, you can attract more patients, say, come here rather than some other hospital.
You know, a lot of hospitals, if you look around, it's really driven by geography and access to primary care. With the exception of some place like Boston, where there's a concentration of large academic centers, with, of course, top-of-mind recognition, and now equivalent amenities to what the Mount Auburn is building. So the market forces for this are a little bit different than the patient-centered, patient satisfaction, and real push to move on quality and safety that we all feel in Massachusetts.
Ms. Clow, stand by for just a moment because I want to bring Rachel back in here because she's the one who brought our attention to this story and actually, you know, has visited you and the new facility at MGH. And, you know, Rachel, I think one of the things I was really compelled by in your piece on Common Health was, yeah, there are all these medical advantages that we've discussed just now. But there's also a question that you raise about, you know, what goes missing when we keep moving towards these more customized healthcare delivery.
Right. It sort of made me think about what gets lost. And just in my own personal history, my father, for instance, has been in and out of the hospital ever since I was a kid. And I always remember he had roommates and he'd talk about them. And one particular roommate was a young guy. My dad was a philosophy professor. And this kid started asking my dad about philosophy, and they had these great conversations about Marx and Heidegger. And the guy was a great distraction for my dad. And it made me, as a family member, feel a lot better about leaving at the end of visiting hours and leaving my dad in a room with someone, a stranger. He'd never see him again, but yet there was a small connection. And indeed, in some of the comments that I got on the post, there were people who said, you know, I had a convulsion in the middle of the night, and thank God my roommate called the nurse because I couldn't press the button. Or a dad whose child was in a hospital in a shared room with other children, and he said, my kids shared movies with the other kids in the room, and it was really helpful. So it's also worth remembering the sort of small connections that you can have in such a vulnerable state as you are when you're sick in the hospital, and that those small connections can sometimes make a big difference.
On the other hand, though, I'm sure that there are people out there who remember not enjoying the person they had to room with while they were in the hospital.
I mean, there's the person who doesn't get off the cell phone, and there's the person who's vomiting all night and complaining. I mean, clearly, you know, it's the luck of the draw here.
Well, Jeanette Clow, just one last question to you. I mean, Rachel raises, I think, what is a really compelling point that there's a community within the hospital between patients themselves, and that could have potentially even the positive health benefits of having that community? Is that being diminished when everyone has their own room?
Well, there is recognition in the hospital that those things in the past for some patients were very effective. So we've got a lot of things that are different now than they were then. First of all, we were totally wireless so that patients can be on the computer. And as you well know, you know, that is the solace for a lot of younger folks. And the other thing we've done is to really change the way the nurses interact around the floor. So, for example, the nurses are now making rounds on a regular basis, day and night, and also they're doing change of shift report at the bedside involving the patient and the family in the room, and gives them another opportunity to touch base with the people there.
Well, so that's happening right in front of the patient and family and not at the nurse's station.
Exactly, exactly. And then lastly, we also have a visitor policy, which compared to the old days is much more liberal than it was back then. So we've had to make some changes. They've been, I think, enhancements that make the private rooms even more of the right decision for us.
Jeanette Clow, President and CEO of Mount Auburn Hospital, thank you so very much.
Thank you so much, Magna. And Rachel, thank you as well.
And Rachel Zimmerman, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Let me just echo what Jeanette Clow said. Thank you as well.
Thanks, Magna.
Continue this conversation on our website, radioboston.org, and while you're there, you can find a link to Rachel's Common Health piece.
Tomorrow on Radio Boston, Joshua Redman, the great jazz saxophonist. He's part of a new jazz band called James Farm. He'll talk about his passion for jazz and about the band's new CD, which is influenced by a blend of soul, blues, gospel, and pop. That's Joshua Redman and All That Jazz tomorrow on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.